Parshas Yisro. This is the peak of the Jewish experience because the Torah is given in this week's Parsha. So we've just experienced the Exodus from Egypt. And we've just experienced the splitting of the Sea of Reeds. And now the Jews continue on their journey to receive the Torah. We know, even today in our calendar, that we celebrate Passover. And on the second night of Passover, we start to count 49 days. Each night, we do what's called Sefirat HaOmer. We count the Omer, and we count up. On the 50th day, we celebrate Shavuot, which is the festival, the day that the Torah was given. But we're told that Yisro, Jethro, who's the father-in-law of Moses, he heard all that Hashem had done to Moses and to the Jews, his people, that he had taken them out of Egypt. You know, the commentary Rashi, which is the most famous commentary on the Torah, it's there and explains basic understanding, not to be mixed up with elementary understanding, because Rashi's words are extremely deep, but it gives us the insight and the ability to navigate the Torah on the plain basic level. He asks a question. The words are that Yisro heard. What did he hear? What is it that he heard? Rashi then says he had heard the splitting of the Red Sea, and he heard the battle with Amalek, which is a battle which had taken place, a miraculous battle. And of course, the Torah tells us about and tells us not to forget the story of Amalek, who struck whilst the Jews were weary, and they struck from behind. And Hashem actually performed the tremendous miracle that the Jews were victorious over Amalek. Evidently, that was a feat that was well known over the world. And Yisro came. He's going to now join the Jewish people. But again, back to the question, what did Yisro hear? And because the Torah starts with that word, that he heard. And by the way, the passage finishes because Hashem had taken the Jews out of Egypt. So essentially, if you read the passage from beginning to end, you could say, well, he heard that Hashem took the Jews out of Egypt, and that's why he came. What is the question to begin with? What did Yisro hear? But maybe that's the point. The Torah tells us that he heard. So he must have heard something specific. Every single nuance in the Torah is there to tell us something. So what did he actually hear? Yes, it was well known that Hashem took the Jews out of Egypt. But what did he hear? And Lubavitcher Rebbe points out that it's more than that. It's not what he heard. What did he hear? Rashi's question is, what did he hear that made him come? You see, understand that times we hear things, we recognize things, but it doesn't compel us to therefore join and do. We hear, we internalize, we know, and then we move on. We make our own decisions in our own space, in our own lane. But Yisro did not do that. Yisro came by Yishma Yisro. He heard, and then he came and he joined the Jewish people. On that, Rashi asks, what did he hear? Uba, that made him come. And on that, Rashi answers the splitting of the Red Sea and the battle of Amalek. I'm not going to get into that right now, why those two specific things, because one of the functions or one of the results of Yisro's coming is that he sees that Moses is sitting down to act as an advisor and as a judge to the people that come to him, which is quite interesting also, meaning that there's disputes, there are questions, and they would come to Moses. He would sit there from morning to evening, and there would be long lines. Yisro comes and sees, and he says, hey, why are you doing this alone? In fact, it's not effective, and it will bring out resentment from the people. You have to be able to delegate. You have to be able to get different sort of, I mean, today it's no different. We have different kinds of courts that hear different kinds of disputes. And sometimes there's appeals, which goes to the higher court. This is essentially what Yisro is suggesting. Have those who can answer for a certain segment of people, and then the division above it, and then the division above it, and then the division above it. Meaning to say that ultimately, if you delegate and you'll empower the people themselves, those special people, those which have leadership, those which will be God-fearing, they'll be truthful people. They won't be people that will be able to be bought out, or bought off rather. Such a system, he suggests, is a system that could be successful from all the angles that he was analyzing it. And Moshe listened to the words of his father-in-law, and he did exactly as was suggested. Now, what's fascinating over here is, when you think about it, here's a people that went out of Egypt. They went into the desert. They're on the way to, or they are on the way to Sinai. Truth is, it's questionable whether this is chronological before the Torah was given or after the Torah itself was given. But the point is, Torah, law, guidance, and parameters have been part of a society, part of the Jewish experience, since the very beginning. Understanding that there are ethics and there are morals, there are dilemmas, there are expectations, there's the enhanced way to do things, and therefore there may be questions on what to do in specific cases. There are disputes. There always has to be a oneness, so to speak, within the Jewish people. So this is the system that starts right from the beginning. And I think this is what has ensured that the Torah that was given to us at Mount Sinai has been able to be perpetuated. We've had leaders throughout the generation. We've had sages. There's always those that step forward that need to step forward in order to ensure the right is being done and the guidance is there for the people, for the next generation, for our children, etc. Now, the truth is, more than it just being a story of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people, it really applies to each and every one of us. Because the Lubavitcher Rebbe always had a way of advocating that each person has knowledge that he can share with someone else. And it would be a great tragedy if knowledge that we have, we wouldn't share and empower someone else with. To the degree that he would say that if you know an Aleph, which is the first letter of the alphabet, so teach Aleph. But he say, I don't know Bet yet. Okay, so you don't know Bet. When you know Bet, you'll teach Bet. But the fact that you don't know the second letter doesn't mean you don't know the first letter. So teach the first letter. There's someone that doesn't know the first letter. This is the secret of knowledge as it's been handed down to the Jewish people throughout the ages. Today's day and age, we have the great, great added ability for every person to study. There's so much wisdom on internet. There's so many classes in communities. There's so many podcasts out there in order to study and to learn Torah and to know more and to be able to share more. And of course, at a time like this, when there's more distraction, we need to be more fortified in our knowledge in order that we can share it with our families to ensure the perpetuation of the Torah that's given in this week's parsha and was given by God to the Jewish people in order to safeguard it, in order to learn it, in order to do it and practice it and share morality and ethics to the world is all the more important, even if the distractions and the opposition that stands against it could also be more in some ways. Nonetheless, we're given the capabilities to overcome, to endure, and to thrive in a manner of Am Yisrael Chai, that we're alive and we're only getting stronger. Have a fantastic day.